Chapter 3. Throat Problems. On the way home from the marina, the rain moved in as John snaked his jet-black 1995 Land Rover Defender through the streets of downtown Key West. Halloween was in full flush, and houses were decorated with the typical pumpkins for the carving, and with skeletons, one wearing old sailor fatigue along with a captain's hat. When he pulled into Angela and his white clapboard rental cottage at 121 Caroline Street, he unloaded the two warty pumpkins he had just bought on the side of the road onto the front porch. Their northern Inuit puppy, Howlin' Wolf, named after the legendary Mississippi blues musician, greeted him. He looked vaguely like John's white wolf, who used to be his spirit guide back in Big Sur. John pet Howlin' Wolf, calling him Big Man, and then strutted into the kitchen. John received a text from Angela, claiming she had taken the Jeep into town for groceries. Ah, John thought, delicious Thai food tonight. Wonder what it will be. Yummy. He turned on the coffee maker and loaded it with Jamaican Blue Mountain for a change. He drank half a cup and sat down in front of his iMac by the window in his home office overlooking Caroline Street and began typing faster than he had ever typed in his life. After 10 minutes, he paused to sip the black coffee out of his favorite white mug lettered with black bold script, Coffee or Bust, while the Key West rain nailed the tin roof of the cottage. For the last couple of months since moving to Florida, Big John had been writing a how-to book on how others could channel energy through their palms to help individuals with their health, just like he did. His ability to cure people from all manner of illnesses with his palms, even from a distance via Skype, had made him an anomaly for the last 4 years for clients all over the world. Angela and he had been living at an off-grid address in Big Sur, California, that few people, even their closest friends, knew about, so they could protect John's gift in privacy. In many ways, he had become a hermit over the years, a recluse due to his notoriety, and many people had even forgotten what he looked like. 3 months ago, his spirit guide, the white wolf that Angela and he had come across that day on Nepenthe Beach many years ago, darted off into the redwood forest, never to return again. Heavy-hearted, he decided to take a sabbatical from working on patients, buy a northern Inuit puppy, and rent a little cottage in Key West, an enclave for artists and writers alike, to work on a book to help others find their own gift. He thought that perhaps just by walking the very streets where fellow writers had lived, he might catch the writing bug. And it worked. The words flowed out of him in such a staggering ensemble that he estimated the book would end up being the size of a colossal bookend. Since starting the book, black coffee had become John's best friend. Lately, he even dreamed about it in the evenings. Coffee had become an obsession. His favorite hobby had become creeping down the aisle at Sandra's Organic Market up the street to whiff all the various beans from different countries. He knew them all by smell. Each one uniquely different: Jamaican, Italian, French, African, Brazilian, Peruvian. Then there were the different notes of chicory, such as dark roast and espresso. He liked strong, bold aromas. It was why he loved his wife Angela's Thai food, because of the robust flavors. Starbucks Nitro Cold Brew was his newest kick when Angela and he were crawling Duval Street, known as the longest street in America because it stretches 1.2 miles from the Gulf of Mexico to the Atlantic, especially after a drink or two, because the nitrogen caused the caffeine to process more slowly in his body. And of course, he loved his Cuban buchis on their front porch in his white rocking chair with a real Cuban cigar. In a pinch, such as on a long road trip to St. Augustine near the Georgia state line, he happily slurped down a Folgers or watered-down gas station coffee, but he was now a coffee snob at heart, leaning more toward the puritanical side of addicts. Never a Frappuccino guy. Those were for teenage girls and lightweights. John believed a real man took his coffee like he took his whiskey, dark and strong. Perhaps at some level he had slowly swapped addictions without really knowing it, his former bad food addiction for coffee and cigars. He didn't like soda either. Too much sugar, and the buzz just wasn't there. Tea was good in a crunch. He could get a half buzz going on a 16-ounce green tea, but it couldn't really put him in the zone. For that, He needed Old Faithful, the go-to choice for cowboys on the range and police officers alike. Coffee opened the world to him. Right after that first blazing hot sip in his white rocker on the porch, overlooking Caroline every morning at the butt crack of dawn, he wanted to study for hours. He wanted to learn. He wanted to know about history, civilizations, and the world. It amplified his spotlight thinking, analytical thought. My goodness, where was this miracle juice when he was studying in high school? Adults guarded their coffee secret like some mystical scroll with the meaning of life scribbled on it. They didn't want kids to know about the magic beans that allowed you to climb to the clouds. Hell, after a cup, Big John might even enjoy looking at some statistics for hours. But there was a downside. He felt too nervous. His heart beat irregularly. He was too hot. His neck was sore and tight after just one cup, and he was often scatterbrained. Sipping again from his mug, he typed for another 30 minutes, but something unfamiliar happened when he reached the 100th page. He stopped being able to write. It didn't matter what John did. He simply couldn't proceed. His mind was blank. Antsy, he opened his rosewood cigar humidor, gently picked up a Cuban cigar off the Spanish cedar tray, and walked out to the front porch where he blazed it. He sat there, contemplatively watching the rain fall. Like many weather systems in the Keys, in 10 minutes the rain had moved on. While enjoying his buzz, he noticed that his throat was ever so slightly constricted. Strange, he thought, glancing at the cigar. He didn't try to heal himself with his magic hands. He knew he couldn't. The one curse of his gift was his inability to cure himself from any illness with his special hands. Although he rarely got sick, at times like these, when he had a problem, he never knew what to do. He needed to find another healer like him, but there weren't any, or at least he didn't know about any, if they existed. His book would change that, he hoped. He saw a world full of healers, able to cure the worst maladies after it was released. Shortly afterward, Angela swung her white Jeep into the driveway and got out quickly in a steam of humidity. She looked stunning in her pink tank top, with her long black hair pulled back into a ponytail, and her cut jean shorts and black leather thongs, so natural and full of life.
"Hey, babe,"
she said. "Hey, sexy." He snuffed out his cigar. "Need a hand?"
"Sure. Come help."
"All right." He hopped up, forgetting about his throat for a moment, hustled down the porch steps, and wrangled over to the Jeep back door with a smile.
"Here you go, soldier,"
she said, handing him two bags. "Sure, babe." He took them and carried them inside. Angela followed, and Howlin'Wolf greeted them at the door, enthusiastically wagging his tail. His wolf-like eyes were that of a sailor who longed for the shore, sad in a humorous way. Those eyes always made the two lovers smile. They set the bags down on the kitchen island in the middle of their lilac-colored kitchen, with Howlin'Wolf following. Digging through the bags, John spotted the galangal and lemongrass and asked, "Are we having my favorite Thai Penang tonight?"
"You got it."
Angela smiled and pinched his butt as she walked past him on her way to the sink with the pork roast, and he hit her butt playfully.
"But you promise we can cook out tomorrow on the grill and make steaks?"
she asked, her head turned to him in a loving way. Of course, anything for you."
"Thanks, babe. How was fishing today?"
"Good. I mean, we got skunked, but hey, it's fishing. I always have fun."
"Attaboy."
While Angela prepared the pork for the oven, John waltzed over to their little bamboo bar cart, took a glass, and dropped in a diesel square ice cube from the ice bucket. "Think we'll have rain tomorrow?" he asked.
"Maybe."
He screwed the top off the Zacapa rum and poured a fatty glass. Then he turned on Ibrahim Ferrer's Oye el Consejo on their wireless beach stereo and started dancing over to his lady. After taking a few quick sips of the rum, he set the glass on the island and took Angela's hand, twirling her around in the kitchen a few times. She laughed, and they both smiled widely. Howlin'Wolf barked.
"Oh, geez, you smell like a cigar factory, babe. You have to go shower right this minute,"
she ordered, pushing his chest away. "Oh, baby, do I really?"
"Yes, it's too strong, love. You know I don't like that smell."